Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues a series entitled, The Destiny of Humanity. The book of Judges reads like a broken record. The people of Israel left the Lord and worshiped pagan demon gods. This idolatry made God angry, and he used a heathen nation to conquer and oppress the Israelites. After a number of years, the people grew tired of being slaves and cried out to the Lord for help. He heard their prayers, raised up a judge to lead them, and destroyed the oppressors. The Israelites faithfully served the Lord as long as the judge lived, and the land prospered. However, when the judge died, they returned to their whoring, and the whole process repeated itself. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, and Gideon were the first of the judges. Israelite history shows that they were only too willing to trade a relationship with the God of creation for the Canaanite demon gods because of the sexual pleasure associated with pagan worship. This message is entitled, The First of the Judges. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Praise the Lord, and welcome to Resurrection Life with Jesus Church Worldwide. And today, I'm going to continue on a series, The Destiny of Humanity. And we're going to be talking about the book of Judges today. This is going to be a teaching message. And I will try to go slow because there's a lot of things for here we can learn from what's written down in the Bible. And some people says, well, why do we read Judges and other books of the Bible? They're just history. When God wants us to learn, that's why he put it in. So let me pray. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank you and praise you right now for this opportunity to preach the gospel again, Father God. And I ask you right now for your Holy Spirit, not to anoint me, but anoint everyone that's watching and listening, now and later, Lord. And this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to set the stage for you here so you understand where we are coming from. The devil, the fallen angels, and all evil spirits have existed on this earth for more than 6,000 years. They never age. The devil never age. The fallen angels don't age. The evil spirits do not age. They are simply the same today as they were 6,000 years ago. They existed before Adam and Eve. We do not know how many years prior to that. But we do know this, that these entities have been around for more than 6,000 years. You and I, we are living generation to generation. And when we are born on earth, when our soul and spirit is inserted in our physical body, we have zero knowledge of the past. Zero. We have no experience. We are simply rookies, placed on earth, facing the most vicious spiritual beings that ever have existed. And so, we are like helpless. And this is why so many people are succumbing. This is why we have a hard time, because we are fighting spiritual beings that have lived a long time. They have worked on generation after generation. They know our emotions. They know how we think. They know how we are made up. And they know exactly how to destroy every new generation that is being born. That's what we're up against. Now, what do we have that will help us? the Holy Spirit. But in order for the Holy Spirit to really put in some work, we need to be born again. We also have holy angels that God assigned to us. And unless we had holy angels that from the time of conception have been forcing back the evil spirits, the fallen angels and the devil, we would have died instantly at conception. Let me take you now to Judges. I'm going to start in chapter 2 here. We're now looking at the third generation. With the passing of Joshua, Israel began a period, time period of 315 years. So God now has set the period of time of 315 years that became known as a time of the judges. The third generation of the Joshua had lost all knowledge of God and filled their spiritual void with man-made gods. And let's turn to Judges chapter 2 and begin to look in verse number 10. And also all the generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which were done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, followed other gods, of the gods of the people that were round about them, bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord, and served Baal, and Ashtaroth. Here's a generation now, third generation after Joshua, had no clue who God was. The evil spirits had simply positioned themselves. They had possessed these young people. They have enticed them. They looked upon the people living around, the Canaanites, and they were enticed by the worship. Now, the worship of the Baal people was this. You had groves, and these were trees that had planted. You had little temples inside. And there would be sexual orgies. There would be drinking, dancing, and sacrifice babies, human beings. And this sexual activity attracts young people. Every generation goes down the same path, sexual immorality, to the slaughterhouse. And this is the attraction. And if you look today in America, you look at other countries, you have the dance halls, you got the bars, you got the places where they go on sin, and young people are attracted to it. And it's the same old story. Alcohol, drugs, sex, rock and roll, same story, generation after generation. I can't believe that I have lived as long as I have lived right now, because time went so fast in my life. And the people in this ministry that we have around us, that I have with me, Brother Soteris, and Brother Henry, Brother Thomas, are seasoned fighters. We've been around for some time. Brother Thomas is the youngest, which ranges from 60 and up to 80-something. We have accumulated experience. We got saved. We have learned about the Holy Spirit. We have learned the Word of God. And we have seen the vials of the devil, the tricks. And we have got seasoned. Now, as we talk to younger people, they simply say, well, you guys are foggy old men. You know what we're talking about. You know, you're senile. We young people, we know it. That's how I spoke when I was 15 years old. When I was 12 years old, my parents had no intelligence whatsoever. They didn't know nothing. And me and my buddies, we knew everything. As time progressed, something strange happened. My parents got more intelligent, and I got dumber. And I realized they knew a lot of stuff that I did not know. It's a lot of heartaches that I had to go through, that I could have avoided if I would have listened. But you see, we have a rebellious streak in us. In verses 14 and 15, and the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers and spoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies, ran about, so that they would not any longer stand before their enemies. Whichever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Pain is a teacher. Pain is something we don't like. But you know, you really should be very thankful for that the body has the ability to feel pain. People that have leprosy, nerve endings in their hands and toes have died. And so, when they do things, if there's a fire, or they walk around, whatever, they stumble, they hit, and they don't feel if they hit something. And that's why the skin begins to break, and you see the sign of leprosy. God has built in a nervous system. If there's heat, cold, whatever it is, well, let's say something is coming against your eye, you don't have to say, blink. Before you know it, you blinked. It's built in automatically. So when you feel the pain, you go away from the heat, for the fire, cold, whatever it is. It's a protection. And God is using that to guide us where he wants us to go. God raised up judges. Verse 16, nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges to deliver them out of the hand of those who spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken to their judges. But they went whoring after other gods, bowed themselves unto them, they turned quickly out of the way, which their fathers walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord, but they did not so. And when the Lord raised up the judges, then the Lord was with the judge, delivered them out of the hand of the enemies all the days of the judge, for repented the Lord because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers in front of other gods to serve them, to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from the stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he said, behold, because of this people had transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, have not hearkened to my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nation which Joshua left when he died. And through them I might prove Israel, where they would keep the way of the Lord, to walk therein, as their father did keep it or not. Therefore the Lord left those nations without driving them out hastily, neither delivered them into the hand of Joshua. God had told them to drive out the enemy. They didn't obey. God said, now, I'm going to leave some of these people here to prove you, to be a thorn in your side, to give you pain, so that you will learn to come to me and to obey me. The second matter we see here in 315 years is go into idolatry, wallow in it, lots of pain, persecution, crying out to God, judges sent in, God delivers them, to have a good time for a few years. The judge dies. They go back in idolatry. The cycle starts over and over again. And if we go back in the United States to the beginning of the pilgrims, up to this very day, we have been through cycles. We have revival, getting close to God, have a good time for season, back into sin, happening again, and so this have we been. Right now, we are in a cycle. 2 years of President Trump, 2 years left to go. We might get another 4 years. Depends upon. And the question is now, are we going to seize upon this, or are we going to win another cycle? Remember this now. We are fighting now, not flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, rulers in high places, wicked in high places. They've been around for 6,000 years. They profile us, even as they're seasoned. They try to make us cynical. They try to make us lose hope. They try to say, well, it's not going to work. They put negative stuff in us. And they try to discourage us so that we will not teach a younger generation. So they will simply say, well, there's no hope. So we got to learn now to fight smart. Here are the things that I want you to think about today. Number one, you got saved. Right now, you are building rewards for eternity. This is our time to go to school. This is the university of the world. What you do now will determine your eternal position. It will determine, it will also your rewards, how much you're going to have in the next life. And some people say, well, you know, all right, just make it into heaven. That's stupidity. We've been living on earth. We have to nickel and dime it. Always looking, can I afford that? Can I do that? Never had enough. You want to live like that for eternity? I don't. I want to have a better life. Now, Satan, the fallen angels, and the evil spirit know this. They're going to the lake of fire. They hate you. They hate me. And the sentence is this. All right, you bastard, you got saved. We can't stop that. But we're going to give you hell, and we're going to try to take away every reward that God has for you. And we try to make you so miserable that you will simply not function properly. You will waste your time here. And in this way, we can take away your positions in eternity. We can't take it to the lake of fire with us, but we can steal everything. So when you come to the judgment seat of Christ, you are saved as by fire, but you are naked and bare, got nothing with you. Courtesy of the devil and his creatures. Now, that's in the Bible. So if I know that, I should fight smart. But the problem is, we got emotions. And emotions get in the way. Another problem we have is that most people are possessed by evil spirits. You are possessed either by the Holy Spirit or by evil spirits. Few Christians have gone through deliverance. Majority of Christians living today have an arrested development spirit. They're children. They are jealous. They're angry. They're resentful. They have all kind of different emotions. And the demons play that. So instead of being able to function properly, we are yo-yos, going up and down, emotional. And we play petty games, control, do this, do not, and so on. Instead of being smart and saying, I'm not going to play the games of the demons. Let's turn to Judges now, chapter 3, verse number 8. Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He sold them into the hand of Chushan-Rish-A-Thim. That's a mouthful. Chushan-Rish-A-Thim. Sounds like a Chinese. But he was king of Mesopotamia, and the children of Israel served Chushan-Rish-A-Thim 8 years. They were slaves for 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So now, the people of Israel said, this ain't worth it, going out to the groves and having all the sex and stuff, you know. But we are slaves. It's so painful. Have you noticed this? Even when a person was not saved, something happens. What's the first word out of his mouth? God! Jesus Christ! Well, it's built into us. We know, you know, that there is a power. There's a God out there. So they cried out. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He judged Israel and went out to war. And the Lord delivered Chushan-Rish-A-Thim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed against Chushan-Rish-A-Thim. He got his name in a few times in the Bible. And the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. 40 years. Now, I want to talk about you and me. We get saved. We start reading the Bible. We go to church. And the church is the same as outside. Somebody told me some time back, I have no problems getting along with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I get along wonderful with them. It's just a family I can't stand. Now, when you get into a church situation, you're going to find people saved by grace, still having a sinful nature, filled with demons, and they're going to be your pastors, Sunday school teachers, they're going to be your peers, they're going to sing in the choir, and these are the people of the church. And so there's going to be always a rubbing against one another. Sandpaper. Can't get along with so-and-so, you know. It's like a chicken coop. So what we need to do is this. If I'm smart, I recognize this is pettiness. Pettiness. Childish. I'm not going to play the game. I'm not going to be intimidated. Now, I could not do this as long as I had my arrested development spirit. And I had a fat one that sucked me up when I was just a little boy. Toddler. And so all my life, I had a chip on my shoulder. Always got angry very easy. Praise God. He showed that spirit to me. I knocked that out. Got some other demons out. And I begin to function, not getting upset every time something happens. The demons don't like that. Because they can't control you. If you don't lose your temper, if you don't have jealousy, if you don't have resentment, if you don't have these negative things, the demons have nothing to pull you with. So what you want to do is this. You want to recognize that I want to get rid of these critters in my life. That's why Jesus said, preach the gospel, cast out the spirits, evil spirits, the devils, raise the dead, heal the sick. We got a marching order. So if you're suffering, let's be smart and begin to think, how will I survive this situation? During the war in Vietnam, I didn't have to go, and I was really blessed for that. But I had a bunch of people that I knew that went to the war, came back, talked with a lot of them. And those that survived, particularly, they simply, during basic training, had learned all the thing they could. They listened to the sergeant. And when they were in the airplane flying into Vietnam, they realized this. I don't know a whole lot. It's a new environment. It's deadly. There are booby traps. People are shooting at us. You can't trust anyone. And the only way to survive, number one, don't get drunk. Don't get high on drugs. Find a sergeant that's been there for a while. Stay close to that guy. Watch what he's doing. Listen to what he's telling you. And in this way, you can survive. A stupid guy comes in, time off, drinking, taking drugs, goofing off. They're about to get killed. So you got to remember now, we're in combat. Lethal combat. The enemy hates us. He wants to destroy us. We have to be smart. In verse number 12, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, Russia is being strengthened. China is being strengthened. Are we paying attention as a nation? God will raise up enemies. The German Chancellor, Lady Merkel, Angela Merkel, had a speech a week ago, 2 weeks ago. She was raised in East Germany. She was raised under the communists. She has a communist mentality. She has a prison mentality. She became the Chancellor of Germany after they were reunited. And she said this, we need to leave nationalism and we need to turn to globalism. Nations needs to give up their sovereignty. And we should be like the EU, where each nation is simply under the leadership of a global government. That's the thinking right now of a lot of political leaders in many different nations, which is is predicted by the Bible. But we're heading into some bad times. So God raised up this King Eglon. He was a fat dude. And he gave unto him the children of Ammon and Amalek, and went and smote Israel, and possessed the city of palm trees. So the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, 18 years. How many of you have been drug addicts, alcoholics, slave to pornography? How many years before God set you free? But when the children of Israel cried to the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud, the son of Gera, a Benjamite, a man left-handed. You know, I like the Bible. It gives some details. And by him the children of Israel sent the present of the Eglon, the king of Moab. Now, the children of Israel simply now were conniving. And they simply said this, we're going to send a gift to the king. And with a gift, we're going to have a dagger. But Ehud made him a dagger with the two edges of a cubic length. It was 18 inches long. That's a good-sized knife. And did he gird it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he brought the present unto Eglon, king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he made an end to offer the present, he sent away the people that bear the present. So he simply, Ehud, dismissed the people from Israel. But he himself turned again from the quarries that were by Gilgal, and said, I have a secret errand unto you, O king, who said, keep silence. And all that stood by him went out from him. So Ehud said now to the king, I got a special message to you. But can we get rid of these guys here? The king, Eglon, was stupid. He told his servants to leave. And Ehud came unto him, and they were sitting in the summer parlor, which he himself alone. And Ehud said, I have a message from God unto you. And he rose out of his seat. And Ehud put forth his left hand. So the king was watching the right hand, you see. That's the hand used weapon with. So when he lifted his left hand, the king didn't pay attention. And he put forth his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. Shaft also went in after the blade, and the fat closed up on the blade. So he could not draw the dagger out of the belly, and the dirt came out. Actually, he penetrated the stomach area there. And so the stuff inside the colon came out. Then Ehud went forth through the porch, shut the doors of the parlor upon him, and locked them. When he had gone out, his servant came, and when he saw that, behold, the door of the parlor were locked. They said, surely he covered his feet to the summer chamber. And they tarried till they were ashamed, and behold, he opened not the doors of the parlor. Therefore they took up a key and opened them up, and behold, the Lord had fallen down dead on the earth. And he had escaped while they tarried, passed beyond the quarters, escaped unto Seirath. And it came to pass when he was come that he blew the trumpet in the mountain of Ephraim. Shilamis went down with him from the mountain, he before them. And he said unto them, follow after me, for the Lord hath delivered your enemies, the Moabites, unto your hand. And they went down after him and took the forts of Jordan to Moab, suffered not a man to pass over. And he slew of Moab of that time about 10,000 men, all lusty, all men of valor, and they were escaped not a man. So Moab was subdued that day in the hand of Israel, and the land had rest 60 years. Now, you would think that this generation would have said, well, you know, we were oppressed by this people, we were oppressed by these people. Maybe we should follow God now and simply do what God says. Us that are here today in the chapel you're watching that are older, you know this, you're not going to go back to your sinful behavior again. We learned a lesson. We don't want to go back. But there's a young generation coming up behind us. They have no experience. And they are meeting the most ruthless spirit warriors that will make mincemeat out of them. Have you ever looked upon these young Democrats? The group, you know, Black Matters, Black Lives Matters, and some of the other groups. And these young people are just mouthing off and they want to do this or that. They've been taken over by evil spirits. They don't know it. And they're going down to destruction. 60 years of good time. After him was Shamgat, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox of gold, and he also delivered Israel. Now, you would think they'd learn a lesson. But this is not so. We go now to chapter 4. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud were dead. And the Lord sold them into the hands of Jabin, king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of his host was Sisera, who dwelt in Harith, Shes, of the Gentiles. Now, another group. God never used the same people. Another group came up. And the children of Israel cried to the Lord. We had 900 chariots of iron. 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. 20 years of slavery. Misery. And finally they cried out, God, please help us. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. She dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. She's a woman. And God used a woman here this time. Some people says, well, God cannot use women. God can do whatever he wants. If he anoints a woman, don't stand in the way. Start praising God. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh Naphtali, and sent it to him, has not the Lord of God of Israel commanded, saying, go and draw to Mount Tabor, and take with you 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto you to the river Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with the chariots, his multitude. And I will deliver him into your hand. God always raises up a deliverer. But Barak said now, he was smart. He said, if you will not go with me, I will not go. But if you will go with me, then I will go, then I will not go. He knew that he himself did not have that anointing. He knew that Deborah had the anointing. And he simply said, I want to go. You go with me. I want the anointing. I don't want to go in my strength. And she said, I will surely go with you. Notwithstanding the journey, the detention shall not be for your honor. For the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. She prophesied to him, the commander of the enemy, you're not going to have the pleasure of killing him. He will die at the hand of a woman. And that was a shame for a person in those days, to die at the hand of a woman. And Barak called Zebulun, Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men at his feet, and Deborah went up with him. Now Heber, the Kenite, which was in the children of Hobab, the father-in-law of Moses, had settled himself on the Kenites, pitched his tent under the plain of Senarim, which is by Kadesh. And they showed Sisera that Barak, the son of Abinoam, was gone up in the Mount Tabor. So this man betrayed Israel. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into your hand. Is not the Lord gone out before you? So Barak went down from the Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. Now Barak did not have any chariots. Those were like tanks today. He simply had infantry. The other God had 6,000 tanks. And God simply said, I will give you the victory. When we look at the enemy, don't look at the size. Don't look at the equipment they have. If God is with us, we can defeat anything. And the Lord discomfited Sisera, all the chariots, all his hope with the edge of the sword before Barak, that Sisera lighted down his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariot, after the host, unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was no man left. Howbeit Sisera fled away on the feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber, the man that betrayed Israel. For there's peace between Jabin, the king of Hazor, and the house of Herbert the Kenite. And Jael, the woman, went out to meet Sisera, and said to him, "Turn in, my lord, turn into me, fear not." And when he had turned into her tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said to her, "Give me, I pray, a little water to drink, for I'm thirsty." She opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said to her, "Stand in the door of the tent. It should be, when any man does come and inquire of you, say, 'Is there any man there?' You should say, 'No.'" Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, took a hammer in her hand, went softly up to him, smote the nail into the temple, fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary. So he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said to him, "Come, and I will show you the man whom you seekest." And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subdued in that day Jabin, king of Canaan, for the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered, prevailed against Jabin, king of Canaan. And they destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. Now, in 531, we read this. "So let all your enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him be as his son when he was forth in his might. And the land had rest 40 years. Another cycle, 40 years of prosperity. 40 years. Did they learn anything? We read now in Judges 6:1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Same story. Now they were Midianites. 7 years. And they begin to cry for a deliverer. And I want to go down to verse number 8. Actually 7. "And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried to the Lord because of Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel, which said to them, 'This is the Lord God of Israel. I brought you up from Egypt, put you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of the oppressed, of there they oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, for you have not obeyed my voice.'" If you go back and read verse number 6, "And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." 2 years under President Trump, America has got more prosperous. We have more money to spend. And I thought about this idolatry season coming up, beginning with Black Friday, that they predicted that the American people are going to spend so many billions of dollars between now and the 25th because there's more money in the land. They have more money. They can spend more. And I thought about the malls on Friday where you saw people standing outside waiting to get in. And when they got in, they would fight. I mean, I saw ladies, nice-looking ladies, knocking other women right across, you know. I mean, they were stampeding. They were going to get something. There was insanity. Saving a few dollars, getting this hot item. It's mine. You can't have it. Instead of Thanksgiving, on all the television networks, the media would have simply said, We are very prosperous. Why don't we take time to thank God for what we have? You see what the American people did? Instead of seeking the Lord, we went to the malls and we fought over things. And God's looking down and saying, I just prospered you. I gave you this man. He took away regulations. They lowered the taxes. You have more money in your pocket. Are you thankful? No. It's the same story. This is 4,000 years ago. Same story today. The question is, would God have some mercy on us? Let's talk about Gideon right now. There came an angel of the Lord and sat on an oak, which was an offering that pertained to the Joash, the Abiezrite. His son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Now, he was of the lowest class in Israel. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all miracles which the Father told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us out from Egypt? But now the Lord have forsaken us, delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in your might. You shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent you? And he said to him, O my Lord, where shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I'll be with you. You shall smite the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, if I now have found grace in your sight, then show me a sign that you talked with me. Depart not hence, I pray you, until I come unto you, and bring forth my presence and set it before you. And he said, I will tarry until you come apart. And Gideon went in, made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in the basket, he put the broth in the pot, put it unto him under the oak and presented it. And then the Lord of God said to him, take the flesh, unleavened cake, laid them upon his rock, and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the Lord put forth the end of his staff that was in his hand, and touched the flesh, the unleavened cakes, and there rose up a fire out of the rock, consumed the flesh and unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. But Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord. Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said to him, peace be to you, fear not, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there to the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. Now, God had showed himself to Gideon. He got a miracle, not action. And it came to pass, the same night, the Lord said to him, take your father's bullocks, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw it on the altar of Baal that your father has, cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord of God by the top of his rock, in the order place, take the second bullock, offer a burnt sacrifice of the wood, of the grove which you should cut down. Now, his father had a place of worship for Baal. In those days, they didn't have any tractors, bulldozers. They had oxens. And those oxens were very precious. They used it to plow with, to do all kind of work around the farm. Now God said this, take the oxens. They were not his, belonged to his dad. It would be like somebody says, take your bulldozers, take your tractors, burn them. You would say, well, that's not mine. That's my dad's. But you see, his dad was in idolatry. And God said, take the most precious thing. Take the most expensive thing your dad owns, his oxen. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said to him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household. So he simply was scared of his dad and the men in the city. He could not do it by day, and he did it by night. When everybody was asleep, he did it. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, the grove was cut down, there was by it, the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And he said to one another, "Who has done this thing?" And when they inquired and asked, they said, "Gideon, the son of Joash, has done the thing." Then the men of the city said unto Joash, "Bring out your son, that he may die, because he has cast down the altar of Baal, because he has cast down the grove that was by it." And Joash said unto all that stood against him, "Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death, while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar." Joash recognized Baal was not a real god. He knew his son had done it. He stood by his son. He realized now, "I have served the wrong god." Therefore, on that day, he called in Jerubbaal, saying, "Let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar." How would you like to have a name like that? "Let Baal plead against him, because he has thrown down his altar." Jerubbaal. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer were gathered to him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, which was gathered after him. And he sent messengers to Asher, and to Zebulun, and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you said, behold, I will put a fleece of wood on the floor. If the dew be on a fleece only, and it be on dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you said." As it was so, he rose up early in the morning, and thrust the fleece together, wringing the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said to God, "Let your anger be hot against me. I will speak this once again. With the fleece, let it now be dry only, but the fleece, and put all the ground will be dew." And God said in that night, "We will dry upon the fleece only. There was dew upon all the ground." Gideon needed a sign. He didn't have that faith. So you and I, sometimes we ask for a sign. But what we need to do, it's as simple as this. Let's believe God. And let's just do something for the Lord. Then Jerubbaal, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early, pitched beside the well of Herod. The host of Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hands, lest Israel rout themselves against me, saying, 'Mine own hand has saved me.' Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead.' And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. 22,000 people said, "We are scared. Go home." And those unto Gideon, "The people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water. I will try that for you there. It shall be that of whom I sent to you, this shall go with you. The same shall go with you. Whomsoever I sent to you, this shall not go with you. The same shall not go." So he brought down the people into the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone that laps on the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shall be set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knee to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to the mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water." And they listened to Gideon, "By the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man unto his place. The people that just drank put their mouth down in the water. They didn't watch what was behind them. But these 300 men simply very carefully took some water and made sure that no one was behind them to harm them. So God now took them down to 300. And there's a story here, as we read here. I'm going to speed it up a little bit. Gideon went down to the camp. He heard him speak of the fear they had of God, the God of Israel. So we pick it up here now in verse number 17. Let me go to verse number 16. And he divided 300 men into three companies. He put a trumpet in everyone's hand with empty pitchers, and the lamp in within the pitchers. So they had a pitcher. They had a light. They put a pitcher over it because they didn't have matches, so this would be light, be simply burning all the time. So they covered up the light, had a sword in one hand. 300 of them, divided into three parts. In the days when they were fighting, they had what they called pathfinders. If they were fighting at night, they would have men with torches. They would hold them up, and they hold a torch up, and then the other soldier would follow that with a torch. When the Midianites, when Gideon had them to blow the trumpets, take away the pitcher, hold up the torch, the Midianites thought they saw 300 pathfinders, three different places, surrounding them. They thought, man, there must be at least a million people behind them. So immediately, there was confusion. Let's read from verse number 22. And the 300 blew the trumpet. The Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the whole fled to Beth Shitharah, of Sirath, at the border of Abel Meholah, unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together, out of Naphtali, out of Asher, out of Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And here Gideon sent a message to all Ephraim, saying, come down against Midian, take before the waters of Beth Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters of Beth Barah and Jordan. And they took the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeeb, and they slew Oreb on the rock, and of Oreb and Zeeb they slew at the vine prince of Zeeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. Now, another victory, another short time of where they could do things and have peace. Let's go quickly to the sum over here, what I want us to learn today. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. And we read this. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searches the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doing. So we got to learn this. You and I have a sinful nature. We are fallen creatures. In ourselves, we are no good. We need the Lord. If we look now on verses 5 through 8, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man, and make flesh his arm, whose heart departs in the Lord. We shall be like a heath in the desert, shall not see when the good come, but shall inhabit the parched place of the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusted the Lord, and the hope the Lord is. We shall be a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth his roots by the river, and shall not see when heat come. But the leaf shall be green, shall not be careful to yield drought, neither shall seed from yielding fruit. Blessed is the man that trusts in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is. And then we go to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. We pick it up from verses 1 through 9. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, the judgment of the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in a land where you go to possess it. that you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I commanded you and your son and your son's son, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, Israel, observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your father had promised you, in a land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. You should know the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently unto your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets before your eyes. You shall write upon the post of the house and on your gates. So the key is education. Now, the reason that our parents, some of our parents were not saved, how can an unsaved parent teach a child how to walk with God? You can't. But those of you that are saved and have children, you have the power to teach them. When we do deliverance here, the first thing we do is to educate people in the Word of God. We have people that have been saved for 30, 40 years. They know very little of the Bible. And before we can get demons out, we got to educate you, line you up with the Word of God. And then we can kick the demons out. So the key is let people know about God, get them saved, pray for the baptism of the Spirit, have deliverance, and then also teach them the Word. If you don't do that, it'd be a lost cause. As a nation, we might prosper for another 4-6 years. We might not. But it doesn't matter what happened to the nation. What matters what happened to you and me as an individual. How will I do? How will my life be? Because eventually, we're going to leave this earth. We go into eternity, and we're going to take with us what we have done for Jesus and how well we walked with the Lord. Amen. To those of you that listen to me today, and you're not saved, and you say, I want to be a Christian, all you need to do is to ask God to forgive you your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ, that you believe that he is the Son of God. Confess that you believe he died on the cross, rose on the third day, and then you pay for your sins. And just ask God, please forgive me. Jesus, come into my life, save me, and help me, and he will. We'll be finishing here. Pastor Charles Terrell will come. You will hear him, but you will not see him on your screen. He will read some scriptures with you. He will pray with you to make sure that you get saved. And if you do that, write us, call us, let us know. I would love to hear from people getting saved. To those of you that are walking with Christ, you are a strong Christian. Here's what I want you to take away with you today. Remember this. It is so easy to become cynical. You've seen so much sin around you. You've been betrayed so many times. There's been so little progress in your life around you. Don't be cynical. Simply say, with God all things are possible. I'm going to take care of myself. I'm not going to give the devil any of my rewards. I'm going to press in. I'm going to try to take with me as many as I can. I cannot save the whole world, but I can reach some people here and there and bring them with me. And I want to grow in Christ. And I do not want to give my rewards to the devil. I want to keep them for myself. That's the decision you make. And if you make that decision, you can be very victorious. Here is Brother Thomas to close.
Father God, thank you for the word today. Another lesson on the state of man. And we thank you, Father, that we're celebrating Thanksgiving another year. And it's good to be alive and moving forward, Lord. We thank you that there are many across this nation that have truly given thanks this year. And they do it on a daily basis and throughout the world also, Lord. So we thank you for another good year and that we are blessed. And I also want to lift up to you this one guy I know whose name, Tim Ramage. He's a contractor. He has a lot of battles right now physically. So we lift him up to you for salvation that, and for healing, that he will be able to make the right turn in his life and head into eternity being a born-again believer. So we thank you for our many blessings. We thank you for we are truly greatly blessed. We thank you that we don't have gunfire over our heads and a lot of chaos in our streets. So we thank you for that. We thank you for the ability to assemble together. It is one of the God-given rights, the right to assemble. And we thank you that we still hold that right in the USA. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you three questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything, even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all three questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these three questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man.
He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are three places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of two places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now, and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient to walk with you? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was the 14th part in the series, The Destiny of Humanity, and was entitled, The First of the Judges. The book of Judges reads like a broken record as the people of Israel left the Lord and worshiped pagan demon gods. This idolatry made God angry, and He used a heathen nation to conquer and oppress the Israelites. The people grew tired of being slaves and cried out to the Lord for help. God then raised up a judge and destroyed the pagan oppressors. The people faithfully served the Lord as long as the judge lived, but returned to their whoring, and the whole process repeated itself when the judge died. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, and Gideon were the first of the judges. Sadly, God's people showed that they lusted for sexual pleasure associated with pagan worship, and were only too willing to trade away their relationship with the Lord. God was against this anarchy that ensnared the vast majority of the Israelites. It should have become clear to the leadership that their educational system was deeply flawed because the children were not being educated in the knowledge of God and the history of Israel. Each generation was living proof that those who fail to remember the mistakes of the past are condemned to repeat it. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1679. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.